Good morning. For those of you that don't know, I'm not Bob. My name is Jefferson Sweet, and I am a missionary to first responders, and Bob asked me to fill in while he is on his travels today with his family. Because of that position, I had a long night last night. We had quite a few calls during the night, so didn't get much sleep, but that is part of my calling, and thank God for the opportunity to serve. Another part of serving here, when asked, is to bring the message that God has given me both today and tonight when I bring this evening's message. We're going to be in John chapter 3 this morning, a very familiar passage to many of you. And my prayer is that this message will connect the Christmas time that we have just been through and are experiencing, celebrating His incarnation, and then looking forward to the new year and new opportunities, and for some of you, a new birth. As we go forward in whatever God has for us in this coming year. How can we know spiritual things and the love of God? The scripture says that God demonstrated His love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus came for that purpose, to show us the Father's love and to die in our place. As another song that I have sung says, the real Christmas tree is the cross. Nicodemus did not understand about being born again, nor did he understand God's plan. So he questioned Jesus when he came to him at night. Jesus talked to him and said that we can know the things of God and His perfect love because He has revealed them to us in His written word and in the person of Jesus Christ. His question was, if I tell you of heavenly things, how can you understand me if you don't understand the earthly things that are right in front of you? He's revealed them to us. We can know Him and receive His perfect gift of salvation and have everlasting life because of the work of Jesus Christ. In John 3, starting in verse 9, we read, Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak what we do know and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I told you of earthly things and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that cometh down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up that serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in God. I want to speak today about God's heavenly love. I want you to see, first of all, that God's love is from above. It's perfect. It's given completely and without merit. His sinless sacrifice paid the price that we cannot pay. We don't deserve it. We cannot earn it. And yet he gave himself, the only perfect Passover lamb, without spot or blemish, just as the scripture required it to be. And just as the kinsman redeemer was identified in the Old Testament, he came human and yet completely divine. He was both man and God. And he went willingly to the cross that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He knew no sin and went to the cross for our sin. We can have his life in us because of what he has done on that cross. The real reason that Jesus came to this earth wasn't just to walk around the earth and give a lot of good sayings. Many of the world think that way. They will tell you that he was a good man or that he was a good teacher. And if that's all he was, then his death on the cross was foolishness and in vain. But because he was that perfect sacrifice, he took our place and he paid our sin debt to the Father because we were under a death penalty. He came from the Father willingly and obediently and offered himself in our place. He's still God the Son, yet he set aside some of those divine attributes as he walked this earth so that man could see God in the flesh. He talks about Moses lifting up that serpent, and those that looked to the serpent and believed would be healed. Well, when Moses walked with God, God had to shield him, and there was a veil over him because man couldn't see the holiness of God and live. Jesus Christ not only became that veil so that we could see God, but then lifted the veil when he went to the cross. And there was no more separation between God and man because of our mediator, the God-man, Jesus Christ. The Father sent the Son to be the propitiation. Now that's a big fancy word that we know more commonly as the mercy seat, where God meets man. And his love is poured out on us. And his blood is poured out, just as the blood of all those sacrifices were poured on the altar and on the mercy seat. He is our mercy seat, that we might have fellowship with God. He took our place. We are guilty. We are cleansed and redeemed when we come to him, because he has satisfied the wrath of God. And secondly, I want you to see through this passage that God saved. He's not willing that any should perish. He wants everyone to come to repentance and the knowledge of the truth. Now we know in this world, as my daughter signed and the song sang about, there's a lot of evil in this world. This passage talks about it when it says that those that don't believe, they hide from the light because their deeds are evil. Not all will receive his offer of salvation. Many will reject it and forcibly resist it. But God still loves all of us and offers us without force, without violence, the free gift of salvation. He has already paid that price. He is grieved when those that don't receive it, but he is just, merciful, and gracious to give of himself when he went to that cross. It cost him everything. He paid the price in full. When he shed his blood, the stripes that were laid on his back were for our healing. Salvation is a gift. He lived a human life, yet without sin. He was tempted in every way so that when he went to that cross, he would have had, he experienced everything that mankind has to go through. And yet, he did it without sin, lived a perfect life, and he went willingly. And it ties the whole thing together, the incarnation, all the way back to Genesis with the promise of the Messiah, and all the way through the Scripture, all things come together. Though there are still promises to come, we'll talk more about that tonight when I talk about His perfect Word. But the transaction is complete. And He said, in His very last words, "It is finished." And as has been explained before, many of you know this, that is a marketplace term that has to do with the fact that it's paid in full. Everything was done. We can't do anything. Without Him, we are nothing. He did it all for us. All we have to do is believe, trust Him, and receive His free gift. Because it is for everyone. That's the last thing I want you to see. Even though there, in this passage, there are people that, because their deeds are evil, will not come to the light. They will not believe. He offers it to everyone, that all may live, and live free from guilt, free from shame, free from condemnation. That's what it says, that there is no more condemnation to those that are in Christ. We can have a new life in Christ, abundant and full of joy. A life, as Lou says often, that is truly life. Because that's what the Scripture teaches us. It's not a new leaf. It's not new resolutions that don't last until February. It's a whole new life in Christ that you can have today. In Christ, you're free, as Bob has told us, not to do what we want, but to do as we ought. To do His will, as the Scripture teaches us. To do His purpose in and through us. His work, His life, not our own. We go out there in our own flesh and try to do things. We're like an empty glove. You can't get past the doors. But God in us equips us, empowers us, and sends us forth. Like I said, for myself, it's as a missionary to first responders. Out there as a fire chaplain and missionary, I speak to those in their world. Pastor here speaks to y'all in this place. And there are others, for different reasons and have different callings, they go in His purpose and where He sends them, across the street or across the world. Because of His love, we go. We go to love others so that they may know. And even though not all will receive it because of sin, because of their pride, and because God gives everyone the free will to choose. Because we all have an eye problem. Whether it's Adam's sin that was the original sin, or whether it's the people of Noah's time that had gotten so corrupt that God washed them all away. And that washing didn't cure the problem, because only the blood of Jesus Christ can cure that problem. And even Moses, he stood up on the mountain and he wanted to go in, but because he had messed up God's plan, when God told him to speak to the rock, he hit the rock. And he said, "Must I do it?" Again, that eye problem stood up. And God said, "Because of your unbelief, you're not going into the promised land." But thankfully, we don't have to trust in our own flesh and our own self. We trust in Jesus Christ, and we have that eternal life that He has promised. We're not condemned. We are free. Our disobedience and deeds of the flesh, God allows people to remain in their sin if that's their choice. And ultimately, they will be turned over, reprobate, and they'll be judged. But you don't have to stay there. No matter where you are in your walk with God, whether you're seeking Him, whether you are walking as Paul did or Peter, or whether you're just one of the rest of us, going through life and trying our best, we don't have to do all of that, because that's a burden we can't bear. God calls us to put our burden on Him and to trust Him. God's love is for all, because He's not willing that any should perish. He's shown His love for us. If you don't know Him this morning, He wants you to come to Him, though you have to do it on His terms. And his terms are faith and repentance. Repentance meaning to turn away from your sin because your sin separates you from a holy and righteous God. And coming to him in faith. Believing that his salvation through the cross and his finished work is enough and complete. And you don't have to do anything. Regardless of where you are, whether you are seeking him or whether God is speaking to you this morning of some calling that he may have for you. Or whatever it is that God is saying to you, as we give an invitation, we'll sing a song about, because I don't have the words up there, so Lou will come up and introduce the song and tell us what our invitation is. But whatever it is that God is speaking to you, he calls everyone to himself for salvation, for service, for sacrifice. Those of us who know him are to repent daily and live in him that he may be glorified in us, glorified in his church, and glorified in this world as we lift him up. The scripture here talks about Moses lifting up that serpent. And it was a sign of what was to come when Jesus would be lifted up on that cross as a mediator between God and man. But thankfully, he didn't stay on the cross. And he didn't stay in the tomb. And yes, for a time, he didn't stay on this earth. But he went back to his Father, and he's at the right hand of God the Father, until God the Father sends him back for his own, and then finally to come and judge the world for their sin. So you either have God's judgment, or you have God's mercy. So this morning, as we sing our hymn of invitation, 436, you come, whatever it is that God is saying to you this morning.